And we don't like to see ourselves, you know, in these words as descriptive of our own behavior. But I started thinking, and I was actually not just thinking, oh, you know, woe is me, I'm an awful person. I was really trying to say, no, have I done this? Do I look at my recent past and see myself behaving in some of these ways? And, you know, among things like, you know, theft and deceit and murder and things like that, I was guilty. And you're probably wondering how so. Murder, Jesus says, if you harbor anger towards a person or enmity towards a person, then you're guilty of murder. The theft and deceit might require some explanation too, or you're going to be wondering why in the world anyone asked me to come here. And you may still wonder this after I explain it to you. So my wife and I wanted to buy one of these exercise bikes. You know what I'm talking about? The stationary bike that you can ride in your house. And so we found the one that we wanted at Play It Again Sports, used equipment. And that was the only one in town that we had seen that we liked. And so I went in to talk with the salesperson there. And I told him that we really wanted to buy that exercise bike. But we had found, you know, some others that we liked that were cheaper. And would he come down on his price? And he said, sure, I'll take $10 off the cost of the bike. And I said, great, then I'll buy it. And so I went home with $10 off of an exercise bike. And then the next day, I went to campus at UW-Eau Claire, which is where I work, with the navigators. And so I was in the library to meet with God. And so I started, you know, out of having my devotion or studying whatever I was doing that day. And this thought occurred to me, probably from the Lord, that what I had done amounted to deception. Because I had just told a person a flat-out lie. I said that we saw others that we liked that were cheaper, and that was not true. We hadn't seen any other bike that we liked. I was just trying to, you know, to drive a better deal down. And I had also gotten $10 down off the cost of that price. In other words, I had benefited by lying, and I had, you know, I consider that to be tantamount to theft. And I thought I was arguing with the Lord, going, this is not that big a deal. Everybody does this. This is Play It Again Sports. It's used stuff. Everybody bargains there. But I had done so in a deceptive way in order to take advantage of, you know, these folks. And so I kind of wimped out in some ways. I wrote the guy a letter and sent him a check back. I didn't want to face him face to face and tell him that I had lied and stolen from him. I look at this and I go, where did that come from? That came from my heart. That didn't come from my, you know, enculturation in this society. It didn't come from my upbringing. It didn't come from, you know, the nature of, you know, capitalism. And it came from me. That's where all of those things reside. At least that's what Jesus says in this very clear teaching on the nature of it's like, imagine... I was just in Zambia here a little over a month ago, working up in the northern part of the country where there are huge copper and cobalt mines that just spew smoke, you know, lots of pollution up in this area. And all of that pollution, you know, those heavy particles settle back down on the earth around. Well, you could spend inordinate amounts of time trying to clean up the world around. But really, the source of the pollution is what needs to be dealt with. And that's the exact same thing that Jesus is saying. Yes, there are problems in the world around. Yes, there is filth and there is sin that we can observe in the world around us. But the source of sin is the heart of man. That's where defilement comes from. And the problem is that the sin within separates us from God. That was the symbol, by the way, even the symbol that's commanded in Leviticus 15 and other places in the Old Testament, that people wash themselves, they wash their bodies or their hands or even their feet before they come into the temple. It was a symbol that a person needed to be utterly clean to come into the presence of a holy God. And sin within, not the sin around, but the sin within has the practical result of separating us from the Lord who is holy. Romans 6:26 says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is the spiritual separation from God. Isaiah says in Isaiah 59 that the Lord's hand has not been shortened that he cannot save, nor is his ear dull so that he cannot hear us. But our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. And our sins have caused his face to be hidden from us so that he does not hear. It is our iniquity that brings about a separation between ourselves and our God, and our sin that brings about his face being hidden from us so that he does not hear. Now, Hollywood totally does not get this. And this is why I say in our culture, we tend to shift responsibility, and in fact, we just reverse the whole situation. We reverse reality. And this is what we all grow up with. If you think back to the last three movies that you watched, if you're a movie watching person, and I'm not much of one, but I can look back at all of the movies that I've watched, you know, in the last couple of years, and all of them reverse the situation. And the problem is generated by someone else, and the solution is humans. It is human love that has the power to redeem relationships. It is human choice, or it is human courage, or it is something, it is some hero that finds the resources within in order to deal with the problems that have been created in the world around. Think through that in the movies that you've watched and see if that's not true. It is always the world that is wrecked and me that is the solution, or the hero within that is the solution to the problem. That is why we so desperately need teaching as clear and as true as Jesus brings. That we would, you know, be called around his feet and he look at us and say, "Hear me, all of you, and understand this. All of these evil things that you see in the world around you, and even all of the sin that you feel convicted of, all of these things originate within you." That's where those things come from. Now, that's very humbling. And in some ways, it's kind of bad news. But I do have to say, Jesus did not come simply to make us feel good about ourselves and our religious practices. He came to tell the truth. And there are times when the truth can really dig down deep. And we have to hear, in some ways, the bad news before we will receive the good news. Now, I want to go on and maybe take a step beyond the text that we have in front of us today, because the entirety of the Scripture is meant not only to bring clarity and conviction about our condition before God, but also to bring us hope in the message of salvation. And the message of salvation is that we are able to repent and ask God for a new heart. If my heart is the problem, if the evil comes from within me, not from the world around me, then I need to fix the inside, but I can't fix the inside. I am the inside. I can't rely on myself to save myself. If you've still got your Bible with you, open up to Ezekiel chapter 36. And I'm going to read from verses 24 to 29. Here's what Ezekiel says. Here's what the Lord says. "Excuse me, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all of your uncleannesses." Do you see that passage, especially spoken in light of these people who believe that washing from the uncleanness of the outside world is what was needed? Here's what the Lord promises to his people before it even happens. Before Jesus ever comes to the world to do the internal work, God promises that a time is coming where He will sprinkle water on them and they will be clean. And He will do so by removing from them their old hard heart of stone and giving to them a new and a soft heart. And He says, "And I will put My Spirit within you and I will move you to walk in My ways." There is an internal work that the Lord promises He will do for us, if we will repent and ask Him for a new heart. Because to as many as received Jesus, to all of those who believed in His name, God gave the right to become His children. That's John 1:12. There is the promise that if you will repent and place your own trust in Jesus, God will do the internal work that you cannot do yourself. Another prophecy from Jeremiah about the time that was to come when the Messiah came. I'll read this to you. You don't necessarily need to turn there. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will write My law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people." Do you hear what God promises to do there? He promises to take His law, His will, His ways, and to do an internal work so that those things now are emblazoned on our heart, so that they're written on our heart. And for those of you who have entrusted your life to Jesus, for His forgiveness and His leadership in your life, you are like all of us. If you sometimes feel the tug of that old nature and those old ways of wanting to behave when you walk into play it again sports or whatever it is that you find your situation, and you feel the prompting to, lie to get your way, to get a better deal, whatever it may be, all of us experience that tension of an old nature, in us. And God says that He has written His law on our hearts. He has put His Spirit within us to move us to obedience to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You, though, have to be responsive to the law that God has put into your heart, to the inner work that He has done. He doesn't come in and sort of rewire you so as to make you a robot, only and always doing what is right. He has asked you, He's invited you into a relationship of responsive trust and obedience. And so for those of you who have entrusted your life to Jesus, do you walk according to the way that He's impressed on your heart as He's renewed you and moved you to heed all of His word, the expression of His will? Another response, and these, by the way, are not exhaustive. These are just, as I look at this passage and think through my own life, I say, how do these things impact me? How might they impact all of us? Well, I hope it would move us to deal charitably with people around us, because we recognize that they are like we are. There's a great passage, at least for me, it's been very influential, that describes how the priest in the Old Testament, who were responsible for receiving the sacrifices of penitent Jews who came in order to offer a sacrifice of atonement for the sins that they had committed. I mean, can you imagine being yourself living under that system where you would bring a sacrifice to the temple for your sin? The priest would probably get very tired of seeing me coming back, offering the same sacrifice for the same sin over and over again. But the writer of Hebrews says that the high priest was able to deal gently with people because he himself was beset by the same weaknesses. That's Hebrews 5:2. And so I look at that as my own example, and I say, do I deal gently and charitably with the people who sin, even sin against me, recognizing that all of those evil things come from within them, and I have that same nature? And apart from the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ, I couldn't deal with my sin either. And so it would move us to deal charitably with people if we recognize that all of these things come from within us. And then finally, Maybe it would move us to share the message that a person can have a new heart. That we don't have to be locked into a cycle of sin that is driving us from within. That God promises that He will do a work within. That if we will trust Him and His Son and the sacrifice that He has made on our behalf, that we can have a new heart. That is the promise that God has made to us. And there are people all around us in this world who are trying to locate the problem of sin everywhere else but in themselves. And that will only lead to greater and greater frustration with this world and with yourself. And how desperately they need to hear that Jesus has identified the problem as being within us and has also identified the solution. And that is within Him, in His sacrifice on our behalf. The Times of London, back in the 1920s, I believe, sent out a question. One question to some of the most prominent journalists in their day. And the question was, our question, what's wrong with the world? And so they sent this to a number of journalists who were prominent in England at the time, asking for them to contribute responses that they would then print in the newspaper. And G.K. Chesterton, who is one of the most brilliant thinkers and writers of the 20th century, wrote back with probably the shortest reply a journalist has ever given to any question. He wrote back to the Times, and in response to the question, what's wrong with the world, responded, I am, sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. There's a man who understood the truth and had the humility and the courage to admit it. May we have that same understanding and humility as Jesus has revealed to us what's wrong with the world. And not only what's wrong with the world, but how it can be made right. Let's pray together. Lord, we are profoundly grateful that You have spoken to us, that You've not left us to wander. Because, Lord, there is no way we could understand even a question so basic as what is wrong with the world that we live in. Lord, we would be... We see it all around us. We see it that in our nature, we want to see the responsibility for sin as lying on someone else's shoulders, at someone else's feet. How gracious it was of You, Lord, to walk on this earth and to clarify the truth for us. And even though there's something in us that doesn't like to be, you know, convicted, we are so grateful for the grace that You've shown us, not to leave us just to wander in sin, to wander in our misunderstanding of the truth, of the way that things really are, but You came to speak truth to us and to show us the way. That is such a blessing for us, Lord. Now, Lord, for us, would You open our hearts and our minds to really receive the truth? I mean, to truly just to hear You speaking to us and to our hearts and the way that You want us to respond to the word that You have spoken. You know that we can't do that on our own. We don't have that kind of strength, and we freely confess it, Lord. We don't have that kind of wisdom. And so we appeal to You for Your grace, the strength and the wisdom that You provide for us to walk in Your ways. And we commit ourselves to follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.